Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM Community Radio. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and we are doing a summer series, Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. I am your host for this show and my name is Raf. And today we have been joined by Santi Balasquez. How are you doing there, Santi? Are you good?
Raf, thank you very much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you here and everybody who's listening. And so far, so good. Cannot complain. Enjoying this wonderful start to summer, looking at being an ambassador and what we can do with this position. So it's an absolute honor to be here, but also to be chosen as an ambassador. It was a bit of a surprise when I got the first email, which I'm happy to tell you a little bit more in there as we progress with this discussion.
That sounds great. Now, Santi, tell us about yourself.
It's a bit of a story. So I'll start before the email so that listeners can have more information about myself. So I'm originally from Colombia, and I was born in a small town in the middle to the southwest of the country, basically the coffee region. And I am vision impaired. I have always been vision impaired, and I have always used Braille, or I have always used screen reading software to use computers. But I didn't always use a cane. So when I was very little, vision impairment was something that I lived with, but I didn't consider a disability just because it was my normal. And my family always said to me, the only thing you cannot do is see. Fast forward to my ambassadorship position and how I got there was because of my parents' decision to move to Australia. They realized that for me to have the opportunities to be able to study, to be able to be more independent, to be able to do more with my life as I grew, moving from Colombia to Australia would be a great opportunity. And because of that, you know, I've been fortunate to study electrical engineering, making me the first blind electrical engineer in the Southern Hemisphere. And getting to that email, I was a bit surprised when I got the invitation to be an ambassador in August, because I thought, oh, I don't think I'd done enough. You know, I run my own company and I do a bit of consultancy here and there, and I talk about inclusiveness, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's just my life. But it is an absolute honor to be an ambassador, and I realized that it wasn't a joke. So here we are. You know, I started in Colombia thinking, yes, I'm blind, but who cares? And now I'm an ambassador for International Day for People with Disability. And it is a crazy roller coaster to get here.
Santi, I noticed that you've referenced that you have your own company. Does that mean you actually work for yourself? Is that, like, for example, what are your experiences in the workplace? Was it easy to start your own company or a specialized area?
It's a very good question. Yes, I own my own company, and it started with another friend of mine. So I'm a co-founder. And in terms of the workplace, no, it's not easy to start your own company. I originally thought I was going to work for somebody. When I finished high school, I thought I'll go to uni because I was passionate with regards to technology, mathematics, physics. So I thought, when I finish uni, I'll apply for jobs. But the reason why I'm running my own company, so it's called Halo, is because of the many problems that I kept finding as I went through university. In high school, you're somewhat isolated because, you know, you go from high school to home and high school to extracurricular activities, but you're not an adult, right? But at university, you are way more independent. And my, I guess, the catalyst that made Halo what it is today was me being left by buses left, right, and center because I couldn't see them to hail them. So I figured I could either wait for somebody to do something about this or I could do it myself. And it's very rewarding to start and run your own company, but it's also very, very difficult because your company's success is dependent on your decisions. So for somebody who has a disability, I think the workplace is very difficult because there is still this perception that we need to be fixed or we cannot comprehend the difficulties of a job, therefore we cannot do it, and expectations are lowered, and all of that just compounds into, you know what, let's just not hire somebody who has a disability. So I think regardless of whether you run your own company or not, we got to change that perception. You know, we have disabilities, yes, but we can do anything that anybody else can do. We just happen to do it a little bit differently.
Do you think people with a disability are treated differently to other people in the community?
I think it's a combination of many, many things in terms of why we're treated differently. I find that it's cultural, physical, and just a lack of awareness. And we don't know what we don't know, right? I don't know how people drive because the notion of being able to see something afar for me is, I can't even comprehend what that looks like, right? So to me, I know the theory behind how driving works, but the actual how could somebody do it doesn't make sense. And if you flip it around, it's the same for somebody who has all their abilities, understanding that, yes, if you're blind or if you have a hidden disability or if you have a physical impairment, we can still do many things. We just happen to do it differently. But for them to understand how we do it, they never experienced it. So to them, the answer is no. They're just different. They're just different. And I think that's, to me, why it is so prevalent. We just don't know what we don't know, and we are afraid of change. We're afraid of things that are different. And I am too, you know. Sometimes when somebody changes the music in one of my playlists, that's a ridiculous example, but we like the norm. We like what's usual. So anyway, I think we just have to understand that the world is different. It literally boils to that.
Well, is that my experience for what it's worth? I have a very, very general statement. I cannot imagine a world that I think it would be an absolute tragedy. It would be a complete nightmare if people all sounded like Raph, looked like Raph, talked like Raph. I really appreciate people having their own opinions, their own influences, and some challenging conversations. And like, for example, who are some of the people that have influenced you on your journey? In my case, I usually identify as when I was growing up, there was a number of sports people, such as Peter Knights, who was a very good footballer, guys like Dennis Lilley. And another person that had a huge influence on my life was my mum, who said when I was about 12, I think that you could make a difference as a writer, provided you worked at it. Naturally, I thought that kind of really good career advice for 33 years. And at that stage, I was in my mid-40s. But more importantly, Santi, who are the people that influenced you on your journey?
I love what you just said, because a lot of the people who surround us will inevitably determine our views in life and also how society sees us. So in terms of influence, so many, of course, right? I have to acknowledge that there are too many to list, but I would say my mom and my dad and my brother are massive influencers in terms of how I see the world, because to them, they just said, yeah, you're blind, but so what? You know, people are tall, people are short, people are blonde, people are redheads, people have black hair. Yeah, and that is different, but it doesn't change anything in terms of what they want to do or what they can do. So obviously, in addition to my family, I had inspiration from many people, I guess, in my field. So being a nerdy person, if you will, you know, I always looked up to Alan Turing, who was very famous. He did a lot of code breaking for the Allies in World War II, and I thought that's fascinating because he, at the time, he was gay, but that was illegal at the time. And he also seemed to have a bit of a disability, I believe, in terms of autism. And you go down the list of there are a lot of people in the world who have done incredible things, and we don't recognize them until they're famous or until they're dead. And it's that difference that allowed them to do those things, right? So in terms of that influence, I'm very thankful that my parents and my friends have always said, you know what? Yeah, so what? You're blind. But I do have to add a caveat to all of that. I'm speaking as somebody who has always had a disability, as somebody who knows no other normal. And that's very important because I don't know what's it like not to have a quote-unquote disability. So for somebody who maybe used to be able to see but then lost their ability to see, or for somebody who used to be able to walk but then lost their ability to walk, their experience is going to be very different. So it's just understanding that our influences can happen at all stages in our life. We just have to be aware of how people treat us is eventually how we will eventually turn out if we take the best parts from their treatment.
Santi, it is now time for us to play some community service announcements, and then we will continue the conversation with Santi Vallesquez, who is one of the ambassadors for International Day of Disability.
We've just listened to Vintage Ride by the J-Town Experience.
Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM as part of the Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. And today we have been joined by Santi Vallesquez. And let's continue talking with Santi about his experiences. Santi, what does being an ambassador for International Day of Disability mean to you?
In a short, simple answer, it means the ability to share with the world that even if you're different, you can do whatever you set your mind to. As a longer response, it's an opportunity to be able to work with the community, with my peers, friends, those who I don't know, to show them, hey, yes, I'm blind, but I can do just this. I can do the same things that you do, right? I can work, I travel by myself, I cook, I clean, and I love the fact that I'm not the only ambassador. So I don't just have to say, look at me, I'm great. I can say, we're all different. And look at all of the other five ambassadors that have been selected. But look at your community. Look at your friends around you. And just look at how everybody does something a little bit differently. Just a bit differently than you. And it doesn't take away from their personality or their abilities. It just means that they do it different to you. And that's why we have Asian food, that's why we have European food, that's why we have tennis, and that's why we have horseback riding or whatever. The world is different, and this ambassadorship has been a wonderful opportunity to realize that I don't know enough and I would like to know more, and I would like more people to realize that we're not broken. We are okay the way that we are. And if you have questions, just ask us. We're just like every other human. What do you think, Ralph?
Well, is that Santi? I think that when I was doing a little bit of research, I'm like the CIA, I know everything. Thing in the Interpol all rolled into one ask Raf, don't ask Google. I came across this great quote from you, which was, the more we can break down the perception that people with disabilities need to be fixed, the more we can move forward as a society. Now, the big question is, for somebody with your disability, how has the technology revolution been? Or I'm going to address it in another way, how it affects the world. How has the technology revolution affected the world in terms of access and inclusion for people with a disability?
It's a very amazing question, because 20 years ago, I'm using my vision impairment as the example because that's my lived experience, right? And I hope that those who have different disabilities can chime in and share their own experiences. But for myself, 20 years ago, reading a menu at a restaurant by myself was impossible. Unless you carried a full-blown computer that had a camera attached to it, and that was a whole exercise and a half. Now you whip up your phone, and/or even with glasses that have a camera on the left or the right-hand side. These are regular glasses, but I'm using them as an example. That you can just ask them, "Hey, Meta, tell me what this menu has, and are there any chips or gluten-free options or whatever it is that you're after." So the technology revolution has given us the opportunity to do so much more, right? The people who use technology and have the ability to do so have realized that not everything is fixed with it, right? Perceptions are very important, but navigation, if you can't see, maps are better than nothing. If you cannot see and need assistance reading, applications that can scan a menu and/or read signs are brilliant. And just a basic ability to send emails accessibly, to read text, that has made a massive impact. And obviously, you get into the home automation, you get into the future of robotic guide dogs, and then you expand outside of the vision impairment community, and you get into the ability to potentially control your phone, your house, your life by just thinking. And technology can be good as long as it is used in conjunction with understanding that we're all different. And I know that I keep coming back to that because there are two models of disability. And one is very much, you are broken, you are broken, you are broken, which is the medical model of disability. And the second one is the social model of disability, which is, it's not your issue. It's just society has barriers. And I love that because the best example to differentiate those two models. In the 1980s, text messaging was invented to help people who couldn't hear, and also because technology had the ability to do so they just threw it in. And now everybody prefers texting. Everybody says, "Don't call me, text me." And it's crazy because it was invented to help a very specific group of people. And now I can't think of anybody in the developed world, and heck, even the developing world, who doesn't use texting. So technology can be a massive ally.
Oh, look, I'm one of those very challenging people in the community, Santi.
I don't know, Ralph. You're interviewing me over Zoom, and this is going to be edited for a radio broadcast / podcast. I don't know about that. I think you're doing just fine.
Well, my idea is that I absolutely hate text. I much prefer phone calls. It's on how people use technology. I prefer phone calls as opposed to text.
And that's the beauty of it.
I remember.
That's the beauty of it. Yep. You have the option to pick. And I agree with you. A phone call is so much easier, at least for me. And it sounds like it is for you too. But at least we have the option, which is the amazing thing.
Yep. And Sean, like as far as technology goes, with my girlfriend, we've gone out for a number of years and I call her wifey. Her place is like a cartoon from the 1970s, a very futuristic cartoon, which was called The Jetsons. All you had to do was literally snap your fingers or say something and something happens. And I am one of those very paranoid people about computers. And that works well for her. It doesn't work well for me. And even regarding what people with a disability can do in the community. A number of years ago, I did interview someone who was a blind photographer about their photo exhibition called Blurry Borders. And that was a very, very, very interesting experience. But Santi, what is the one thing in Australia that Australia should do to recognise what people with a disability do in the community?
I think the biggest thing in terms of recognition is let us do it. And I'll give an example. When I made it to Australia, I came from a country where the supports for people who have disabilities are non-existent. So whatever you wanted to do was dependent on what your parents were able to support you to be able to do, and your school teachers were able to put together to help you do, and how much effort you wanted to put into something. Fortunately, I had parents that were like, do it, we'll figure it out, do it, do it. So when I came to Australia and I said to my teachers, I want to study electrical engineering, I want to do physics, mathematics, they said, oh, but we don't know how somebody who is blind can do that. We just don't have a record of that. And I said, well, okay, I don't see that as a problem. I just see that as we just don't know how to do it, but we can figure it out. And a few people did say, don't do it, it's too hard. And it comes from this idea that, yeah, I did mathematics differently. I did engineering differently than my sighted peers. But I'm pretty damn good at it. And that's why I graduated. Not everybody will be doing physics. Not everybody will be writing software. And that's okay. But we need to be open and allow people to take chances to fall down and get back up again and learn from their mistakes, because otherwise, how are we supposed to progress as a society? Adding another example to the mix, how many people who have a disability do you know, if you're listening to the podcast, who in high school had a part-time job just like their non-disabled peers, who at TAFE or at university had a part-time job or to show them what's it like to study or to work and study, to just live out and about in the community. Not many, because if you go to a coffee shop and say, hey, I'm a blind barista or I use a wheelchair, most will say, ah, geez, mate, I don't know. I don't think this will work. Some of them will say yes. Most of them will say no. So for me, the infrastructure is doing well. We can still improve it. We still need to improve it. But it's the cultural perceptions, this notion that, no, it's okay. Just we'll figure it out. Somebody will do that for you, or somebody will work it out. You don't exercise Don't put yourself through that because that's a lot of work. That's what needs to go away. And in addition to that, realize that all of those of us who have a disability are different again. So some people might want to do a lot of things. Some people will not, and that's fine. That's all good.
Yeah, well, Santi, one of the things that I'm going to make jumping with my two bits worse with, I honestly believe that there should be more career or leadership opportunities, particularly for with people with a disability. I was very fortunate. I did one of the first leadership programs in Australia back in about 2006. It was called Leadership Plus, and it was put together by a bloke called Stephen Gianni, who was visually impaired or blind. And more recently, one of my peers, Eva Siffers, recently was a graduate of the Williamson Award for Leadership. Now, 20 years ago, it would have been very hard for a person with a disability to apply for that course, let alone be accepted into it. That's one of the ways which we actually can get much better in the community about making sure people with a disability, that people have can expect to actually have a career path, opportunity to study, to engage with the community in the same way that other people can do. But finally, Santi, before we, because we are fast running out of time, what is the best way for people to contact you? Like, for example, are you comfortable about the website for Halo to mention that?
Absolutely. No, listen, if anybody wants to reach out, be it for my work, so I run a company called Halo. We're improving public transport accessibility starting in Victoria, if all goes well. Or if it's just a question or you want to reach out just to say hi, definitely best way is through our website, Halo. That's H-A-I-L-O, so www.halo.co, and or hello@halo.co. I'm happy for you to reach out that way, and I'll be more than happy to support, connect, collaborate, discuss, in if it's something that I can obviously provide a meaningful input. And obviously, I'm around. I am on LinkedIn. I am on TikTok as the blind engineer and on YouTube as the blind engineer. I randomly post things that I find unique and interesting that hopefully other people find that. So please reach out. We're only as strong as our community is large.
Well, is that, thank you very much for your time, Santi, for joining me on the Boldness today. Thank you very much, Santi.
Ralph, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. And, well, again, happy International Day for people with disability.
We've just listened to You're Not My Lover by Jen Frank, one of the artists from Wild at Heart Community Songwriting Group.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, better known as Raf. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and as part of the 3CR Summer Series programming, we're doing a special called Meet the International Day of Disability Ambassadors. And our first guest as part of the series is Olivia Sidhu. How are you doing today, Olivia?
I'm very well, thank you.
This is great that you're doing well. Now, Olivia, tell us about yourself.
Hi, and my name is Olivia Sidhu. I am 26 years old and I have Down syndrome, and I live in Sydney with my family. I love makeup, fashion and modelling and travelling.
Yep, and with fashion, what kind of fashion really do you like a lot? I mean, what's your style?
My style is about is to look good. It makes me feel good about myself and getting and makes me feel good about myself and getting and show what I it shows what I can actually achieve.
What are your experiences in workplace?
I am very lucky and have many jobs that includes working as a DSA Health Ambassador, working at SJB Architectural Firm, working as an Inclusion Support Officer at Down Syndrome in New South Wales, and allows me to be independent and financially.
Now, Olivia, as part of your role as an Inclusion Support Officer, why is it important to include people with a disability and speak to us as people and not to the parent?
To include us in our own health conversations. Speak to me and not my parents.
Yep, and that's because you're a person in your own right making your own decisions?
Yeah.
Yep, well, that's actually a really, really, really important point there. So we'll go on to now, Olivia, do you think people with a disability are treated differently to other people in the community?
There have been occasions that I have been excluded in high school in some circles, such as social events. Being an ambassador for International Day of People with Disability gives me the opportunity to be the voice for other people to try and improve inclusion in society. Our disability is a part of who we are, and other people should see us for who we are and not our disability. I can't hear you.
Thank you for being very, very, very assertive there, Olivia.
You're welcome.
I really like that because it means that it's great that you find your voice and the confidence to let me know. And that's a big part, I think, of in a community is to find people to have their own voice.
Yeah.
And what actually happened there, listeners, that I have an interface which is out of view for the pre-recorded interviews, and I'd accidentally hit mute on it, and I hadn't turned it back on, which meant that Olivia couldn't hear me, which was a bit silly of me, but I take ownership of it. Now, Olivia, who are the people that have influenced your journey to become an ambassador for International Day of Disability?
The people that influence my journey is my parents, are my role models, and they encourage me to be the best that I could be. They encourage me to take up opportunities as they arise, and that they support me with my new challenges.
Now, Olivia, it's now time for us to play some community service announcements.
We've just listened to Touch Centre Serve by Noah Chong, one of the artists from Wild at Heart Community Arts Songwriting Group.
Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, and the Boldness is talking with one of the ambassadors of for International Day of Disability. Olivia Sidhu, welcome back to the Boldness, Olivia. Now, Olivia, what does being an ambassador for International Day of Disability mean to you?
I am raising a voice for all people with disabilities and spreading awareness. Being an ambassador for International Day of People with Disability gives me the opportunity to raise awareness and to raise inclusion in society.
Olivia, how should people in the community treat people with a disability?
People in the community should treat people with disabilities the way they want to be treated. Everybody should treat us with respect.
What does respect mean, Olivia? When you say the term respect, does that mean being polite to people with a disability, asking people with a disability what their choices are, their thoughts and their opinions?
Respect means to be polite to people with disabilities.
Now, Olivia, sometimes in the community, as a person with a disability, I often find that people in the community ask people that I'm out with, what would I like, instead of asking me directly. Now, when people do that, I don't think that's a way of being very respectful as me as a person with a disability. Have you had experiences like that?
Speak to me and speak to me directly and they should respect that.
Yeah, and that's about really being respectful. Now, Olivia, how can Australia better include people with a disability?
To create opportunities for people with disabilities and give us a fair go. Let's look at the ability to see the disability.
Yep, a long, long time ago is that I remember someone that I met, she made a comment that she had many, many abilities, but she only had one disability. And it's about, I think, seeing the whole person and valuing what they can do and making sure that everybody is actually included, has the same opportunities as other people. We're fast running out of time, Olivia. So what is the one thing Australia should do to recognise what people with a disability do in the community?
To give them opportunity and support them to excel in those opportunities.
Right. Now, I said, Olivia, finally, what is the best way for people to contact you? Do you have a website?
They can contact me by Good Talent Media.
The Boldness would like to thank Good Talent Media for giving the Boldness the opportunity to talk with the International Day ambassadors. It's been fantastic to have you on the Boldness, Olivia. I would like to say thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Keep listening to 3CR. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People.
I would like to thank all the ambassadors for International Day of Disability 2025 for appearing on The Boldness. I'd also like to thank the Good Talent Media team for facilitating the interviews. Let's go out with a song, Strawberries and Cream by Minky Lush. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me today.